Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Adi, third hour, coming live from our Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What the hell is that? Is that the sun? What is that?
It is.
Is that blue?
It is a beautiful day today, actually, driving blue in. Skies. Was it warm? Even though it felt warm in my car because the sun was beating on it.
Funny you say that. I felt the same thing.
I was like sweating.
Yeah, me too. It said like 57 degrees.
Agreed.
But it felt like it was 79 or 80.
My car, when I left, it was 61, and I was dying, unzipping my jacket. Like, what the heck is going on here? But that's the greenhouse effect in the car. BT, watching the draft, the lottery last night, and we mentioned this, we alluded to it. They had video. I saw it on Twitter. I don't think they showed it on the broadcast. Maybe they did. I don't know. Of the Pelicans ticket office, going insane, and when they found out they had number one. Mm-hmm. And again, I reiterate, this is not the war room, the draft rooms, not the GM. It's the ticket office.
They got work. They're actually happy that they can do something now.
They're probably commission based. They know that they're going to be able to call up all these
galvanizing,
and it's galvanizing. Yeah. But they are like jumping in. They're out of the. It's crazy. Uh-huh. Like, first of all, you just got the number one pick. You haven't picked anybody yet. Mm-hmm. But it makes you think, because there's only one person you get that excited about in this draft, and it's Zion Williamson, right? And he's transcending. He is exciting as hell. He's physically just a freak and dominant. He's a highlight. Here it is if you're watching us on the network. This is the ticket office. This is not the war room. Or the GM's nowhere to be found. David Griffin's not there. But it started to make me think about the pressure on Zion and whether or not it's a good thing that that happens, right? It's whether or not that an organization sees a kid as their selling point, even if he hasn't done anything yet.
Their financial lifeline.
The financial lifeline, even though he hasn't done anything yet. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say this, because I like Zion Williamson. I think he's exciting. He's interesting. Yeah. We had this conversation yesterday, BT.
He's the most exciting prospect since Ewing.
But he's the most exciting prospect.
From Ewing.
But going into a league, right, that values guys who can shoot.
Oh, that little detail. We want to actually get into that now?
I agree. Okay. Now, Zion has I asked Sam to look it up for his field goal percentage from last year at Duke. I think it was 68%.
Yeah.
Majority of those were dunks. If you watched any Duke games, he knocked down some three-pointers, not a ton. He shot 34% from three-point range. So he's a decent shooter. Doesn't have a broken shot.
No.
But I fear that there's this pressure that's being put on him to come hop into the league and be a polished product like LeBron James. And I don't want to compare this to NFL quarterbacks, but
it's
will.
I'm just writing names down of NFL quarterbacks.
Right? NFL so quarterbacks get into this moment when they get drafted, first round, hey kid, you're our franchise. Mm-hmm. And these guys are usually more mature because they have to be in school for 3 years, right? And they're not 18, they're at least 20 when you're coming to the National Football League. And they get thrown into the fire. You're going to have to work for your starting job. You know what? Forget it. It's your job. You're going to be the starter. You know, fix this franchise. And they go out there, they get destroyed. They're swimming in the X's and O's of it. The speed, the physicality. They're playing with men now, not boys, and they get destroyed. Mm-hmm. Right. Mentally, confidence-wise, and they fall apart. Basketball's a little bit different.
They don't always fall apart.
They don't. Some of them.
Eli didn't fall apart.
Some of them find ways through it. Eli had a family pedigree that I think helped.
Okay.
You know, I honestly.
Torrey Aikman didn't fall apart.
Torrey Aikman had a collection.
You got a lot of responses for every name I'm throwing out.
True, but it was terrible.
But it's they were awful.
But it's nuanced. Okay. Torrey Aikman had Hall of Famers all around him. Right, and it helps with who you're playing with, especially in football. And my point is, though, in basketball, it doesn't usually work that way.
Russell Wilson didn't fall apart.
It doesn't work that way. What do you mean, Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson never struggled.
That's what I'm saying.
But he never struggled.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about guys who don't struggle. Like, certain guys come in and they just get it.
Gotcha.
And, you know, their heads, they're above it, right? Gotcha. They're predestined to be elite no matter what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the guys that struggle. And the reason I bring that up, because I think Zion Williamson is going to struggle.
He is.
Early.
Yeah.
And all this pressure is on him. I don't know if that's necessarily a great thing for him. So I see all the celebration, right? I see the Pelicans, they're jumping through the roof. The ticket sales people are going to have commissions coming out the wazoo because everybody's going to want to come see Zion Williamson play down in New Orleans. But he's going to get into the league and realize I'm not dunking every play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not bullying my way to the rim because my handles are good, but they're not that good. I'm not just pulling up in mid range or from 3-point line and laying in buckets all the time. I think he's going to struggle on the next level, and I wonder if all this pressure that's now surrounding him is going to make it even worse.
Fair. Let me see. I absorbed everything you said.
Because he's the savior, right? Uh-huh. Think about that.
Supposed to be.
He's the savior.
So were others.
The Pelicans are like, they're jumping up and down. He's just, Zion's going to save us.
Uh-huh.
Right? We're going to lose Anthony Davis. We got Zion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Until he doesn't actually save you.
First of all, there's different levels of saving. Like Baker, I'll go back to the quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield trying to save the Browns, and Sam Darnold trying to save the Jets, two franchises who have historically, perennially been searching for quarterbacks, and the list of recycled failures is as long as, I mean, it's ridiculous. We know
You're
all
right.
the names, right?
So we've forgotten actually some of them.
That's right. Probably have even you know, it's funny. I'm being honest. Yeah, I hear you. Probably even yeah. Because, like, if you had, like, Quincy Carter just popped into my head. Like, he actually played for the Jets for a
game. Right.
There's probably a guy or two that I'm like, that's right, he did start a game for the Jets. And I'm sure Brown fans saying the same thing. But the fact that it's not that daunting. Like, the Pelicans aren't good, but the Pelicans don't have the weight of a tortured fan base that the Browns quarterbacks had to deal with. And the Jets quarterbacks have to deal with,
in a sense, the Pelicans is a good location for Zion Williamson.
I don't know if it's the best situation, but I don't think it's a situation that will swallow him up necessarily. Now, the other thing I would add is this. He had the same level, same expectations at Duke, but he had Barrett. He had
was supporting cast there.
But think about his first game. What'd they do to Kentucky?
Oh, they destroyed them.
They destroyed Kentucky.
I thought the Duke wouldn't lose a game all season. What'd they score, 100?
I was right. I think they scored like 112.
Yeah.
They may have been over 110. Whatever it was, he answered the bell immediately.
You're right.
So all the YouTube, and this kid had a million YouTube followers as a sophomore in high school, you know, checking out his dunking prowess. I say all this because as a sophomore, then junior, AAU, you go to Duke, you destroy Kentucky, the big bad Wildcats, first game in college. Okay, and you deliver on every level at Duke. I feel like he's equipped to handle it. Pressure-wise.
Yeah.
His game, now that's a different conversation. There's the skill set, and then there's the emotional stability and the personality traits that enable you to deal with the ebbs and flows of failure.
And again,
as a young kid,
I think it's a skill.
I think it'd be fine.
I think it's the skill set that I worry about because he's not going to be able to get to the rim all the time. Maybe he will. Maybe, but I don't know. He's not 6'10". You know, he's 6'7".
Would you not draft him?
Of course I would.
But why? If
of course,
do you have this kind of question with Ja Morant?
No.
Exactly. Because so why wouldn't you take Ja Morant?
Because he's a shooter.
but he's not. I don't know. Zion, I can't.
You're getting wrapped up in the highlights, buddy.
No, it's not the highlights. It's the brand, right? I can't discount the brand.
When was the last time a brand won a championship?
It doesn't.
Okay.
At all. But that's my point.
From a business point of view.
From a business point of view. And it's why we keep showing the Pelicans ticket office.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Not the fan base.
No, I know.
Not the GM.
I know.
We're talking about the ticket office going insane.
Yeah.
Because they don't care about
Man, they are going nuts.
Right?
You're right.
It's not like Zion. Bonkers. They don't know if Zion Williamson's going to score 20 points a night, you know, and shoot 65%.
Uh-huh.
They know that Zion Williamson has been a brand for 4 years already.
Yep.
He's an icon because he dominated every conversation in college basketball. Not like some weeks he was second. He was number one every single week in college basketball. That is sellable. And that's money. So they care about the brand. The brand I get.
Mm-hmm.
It's the game that I'm worried about.
Okay.
With Zion Williamson.
I don't disagree. So let me flip this back at you and get a little more specific. If from a basketball point of view.
And by the way, if AD leaves, he's not insulated.
That's true. I mean, who are they going to double team? Him.
Yes.
Maybe. You know, I hear you. So at least if AD is there, you get that extra attention, backdoor alley-oops, weak side
right.
stuff.
And I know Drew Holiday is a really good player.
They're very good.
And he'll be really good for him. But I'm talking about
I know what you mean.
On the court
I know
and
mean.
Sitting in an interview after the game. Who are you talking to? You're talking to Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of pressure. I'm not going to dispute that. And his toolbox is such that it doesn't line up with the modern NBA. If this is 1993, we're not having this discussion.
You're right. It's 6'7", and
he's good to go.
280.
Yeah.
He's non-conventional.
Who's the best players in the NBA right now? Kevin Durant is 7 feet. LeBron is 6'9". Giannis is 6'10". There's a couple of guards who are in the conversation, but Joel Embiid is 7'1".
But they're shooters, those guards that are in the conversation. They can stand around the perimeter and knock them down all night.
That's where I was going to go further.
Right.
So you talked about a young man, forget about the smile and the magnetic, you know, just exuberant.
Yeah, the brand.
All the great stuff.
The brand, we'd love that.
Checks every box,
the
right?
The brand, we'd love it.
Can he shoot? The answer is no. Right now, he cannot shoot enough to justify him being a superstar on the next level. He's got to prove to us that he can shoot. Okay, number one. Number two, a little small.
Mm-hmm.
A little small. Number for the position he's going to play and guard. Number three, everybody in the NBA is a grown man. Number four.
That might be the biggest one.
His hand, yeah. But now, as much as we're enamored with his unique frame, we need to see if he can carry 280 without the joints going.
Yeah.
Okay? Now you look at somebody like Ja Morant, and you line this up with the modern NBA. He's got a sick handle.
Yep.
His vision is unquestioned. His IQ is through the roof. His shot is flawless, and his explosion is incredible. So in a guard, I'm just throwing this out there. For in a guard dominated league, in a guard-oriented, perimeter-oriented league, why would you not take the guy with more checks that match the modern NBA?
Yeah.
Why?
The only
thing would be marketing.
Yeah, you're right.
Marketing. Or that, and you believe that he'll get the requisite jump shot. Who would you want? We're going to put you in the GM chair right now. We're going to put you in there. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki raises a very valid point, and it's not. This might be one of the tougher, you know, layered decisions for an NBA front office in a long time. We know the direction of the league. We know what Zion can do, and as specifically, we know what he cannot do. What would you do? You're running the Pelicans. What do you do? 855-212-4227. We'll get these calls. We see you. Calls next, we promise. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Which to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Hey, it's golf's next major. Starts tomorrow. It's the world's, as the world's best eye, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger going for back-to-back majors and his 16th overall. A lot of competition. The backdrop, beautiful, daunting Bethpage Black. It's the PGA Championship coming up this weekend on CBS. That'll be all over the Tierney house. So every TV in the Tierney crib we'll have on the PGA Championship at some point in the day. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And a lot of people want to jump in on the phone, see what they're thinking about the NBA. And if you just tuned in, just to briefly reset, because Tiki brings up a very poignant issue that the Pelicans are probably, they won't say this, but are probably wrestling with right now. Number one, they've got to find out what they're going to do with AD. That's clear. And they're going to have to trade him. That's my opinion. I don't think he wants to stay there no matter what. They will trade him. But from the first overall perspective, do you take the marketing coup? I mean, just...
It is.
It's
people. People are
ridiculous.
Going to be interested for at least 3 years, unless he absolutely sucks.
Yep.
And I don't see that happening. Zion Williamson is a marketing phenom for at least 3 years in the NBA.
I read something. I don't know. True. I don't know if this would apply to the Pelicans the way it did to the Knicks, but I did see an article yesterday that said if the Knicks whiffed in free agency, don't worry, they won't. But if they did, and they just had Zion, if they were to win the lottery, that the Knicks were that the best estimate based on executives who make these decisions, the Knicks would be slotted in for about 25 primetime games next year just because of Zion.
Oh, interesting.
Now, does that apply to the Pelicans? I would think that it would. And if that's the case, then you monetize that. That is an additional branding asset that you have to try to quantify and factor in. My counterpoint is, while I really like Zion for sure, his skill set, what he doesn't do well, you have to do well in the NBA to be great.
Yeah.
And Ja Morant does those things. And kind of so does Barrett.
You're right.
You know? So that's a tough one. Even though a lot of people don't think it's tough, that it's going to be Zion no matter what. It's not as easy as you think. I'm happy you brought that up, T. Jim's in Kentucky, and Jim is on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Jim?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We are well, man. What you got for us?
What's up, Jim?
Hey, just got off work and listening to the show. So if you've talked about it, I apologize.
It's all good. Go ahead. All good.
If I'm Zion, I'm not really thrilled about going to New Orleans, to be honest with you, after what Anthony Davis has had to put up with down there, with the lack of talent he's had to work with down there, lack of getting into the playoffs. Could you see him pulling a John Elway or an Eli Manning demanding to get traded to maybe...
Or Stevie Los Francis. Angeles,
yeah,
Stevie Francis, too, did this. Yeah,
yeah, Jim, it's a good...
Or say, okay, if you don't trade me, I'll go back, I'll sit out a year, go back into the draft next year.
We brought this up. Yeah. Good call, Jim. Appreciate
thank
you, buddy.
Jim. BT brought this up at the beginning of the year because Zion has not, I don't think, we checked this, hired an agent yet. And if you don't hire an agent, you can go back to college. So even if he's not intending to do that, he can threaten that to the New Orleans Pelicans. And look, is that a reality? Maybe. I mean, maybe the aesthetics look like it's a reality after he got up and left and was ushered out of the lottery last night with a dour look on his face. Could it happen? Yeah, of course it could happen. We've seen the power in the NBA shift to the players. And when BT and I hit this earlier, the thing that troubled me is that I have a lot of trepidation about giving an 18, 19-year-old kid the same power that LeBron James and Kevin Durant and these established superstars have in the NBA.
You mean you kind of want to earn it?
Exactly.
What a foreign concept.
I know you think you're going to be a superstar, Zion Williamson, and the New Orleans Pelicans ticket office thinks you're going to be one, but you ain't played a second yet.
Not a second. The one thing that I would add to that caller, and yeah, we hit that heavy in the first hour. Appreciate you making the call from Kentucky. Big fans out there, Tiki and Tierney, get a lot of stuff from Kentucky on social media. But I would say that, you know, like at least Demps is gone, thank God. And at least the different, possibly, well, very different template for Zion, if they draft him and or don't trade him, that you have a brilliant basketball person.
David Griffin.
David Griffin's going to get players that Demps did not.
Agreed.
So that's a big difference. But we'll see. Kevin's in New Jersey. Kevin is on Tiki and Tierney. Kev, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
I'm a disgruntled Knicks fan, and I won't believe it until I see it happen. Mm-hmm. But with Zion going to the Pelicans, even if he goes there, they got to surround him with players.
Yeah.
And I just like your thoughts. And another thing, with Kyrie Irving, wouldn't Kemba Walker be a better guard for us to have? He's more durable.
See, let me just take that part because
I
heard, Kevin, thanks for the call. I just want to take the part. I was going to say this, and this actually reminded me. Had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and we'll leave it at that.
About Kemba?
About what the Knicks are thinking, and nobody's reported this, that there is no chance the Knicks sign Kemba Walker. They don't like him as a player.
They don't.
No, they don't see him as anything remotely viable.
Too dominant?
Too small.
Too small.
Way too small and not nearly as efficient as he needs to be.
Yeah,
so if the Knicks whiff on Kyrie, do not expect Kemba Walker.
It's interesting.
Not happening.
It's interesting. I forget the first part of that question with Anthony Davis and I forgot what the question was that he asked, because it actually is interesting what the Knicks are going to do. Kevin's obviously from New Jersey, so he's more concerned about the Knicks. But the Knicks, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to get KD,
mm-hmm.
right? And with KD comes
let's get the picture. Good time to put it up there, TV.
With
let's
KD,
go.
Presumably comes Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving is great until he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's fair.
It's an odd thing to
wish
for.
But as a Knicks fan, it's something you're willing. It's a gamble you're willing to take. Because there's just been a dearth of stardom.
Yeah.
And yeah, Kyrie's a little odd. He's a little fickle. He could wake up one day and say, I hate playing for the Knicks, or get me out of here. What? I retire. Yeah. Whatever. Who knows what he's going to air it is. Here's my guy, KD.
No, that's KD. Not. That's Kyrie.
Oh, that's Kyrie, my bad. Kyrie is my guy, Kyrie.
Black guy in the Knicks uniform.
There's my guy, KD. Looks like there. Kevin Hart a little bit. The Knicks are going to get Kevin Durant. But the whole thing about Kyrie is that you do run the risk of that a personality that is incredibly hard to predict.
Yeah.
But you take the risk because you've been terrible for 20 years outside of one good season.
Jim, Oregon.
Want to go to Jim?
Yeah, we almost talked about this earlier. Go ahead.
Jim is in Oregon on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Jim?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, you're good, man. What do you got for us, Jim?
Two quick points. One is it'd be nice to be the number two, similar to what the Giants were with Barkley. You're the number two NBA team. I'm going to come out gold. And then two, I think the Pelicans would be really smart if they find a solid veteran that can act as a mentor to that young man.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's necessary. And not only is it necessary for him to have someone who's had success to learn from, but he also needs a vet who has had success to deflect away from the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets drafted to the New Orleans Pelicans and he's, you know, no trades, he doesn't force his way out, doesn't do anything, whatever, and he's a New Orleans Pelican on day one of the NBA season, and let's push forward day like 20 of the NBA season, and they're scuffling here in a little bit, people are going to be putting pressure on him because he's the savior. I put this in quotes, the savior of this franchise. If there's not a vet there to help navigate that with him.
Yep.
He's never had that kind of adversity. Yeah, I know they lost in the NCAA tournament, and you know everybody expected him to win the title and get to the Final Four, and it didn't happen. But that's not adversity. Adversity is when you're on a 30-win team in the NBA, and you want answers, you want guys to come play with you, and people are like, I'm not going down there. That place is terribly run. Now what do you do if you're Zion Williamson? Because you're not LeBron.
But that's where I think being in a relatively benign media, that's where I think it would actually be favorable.
But doesn't
for
he transcend that a little bit?
From a national point of view, sure. Yeah. But I don't know that ESPN and, you know, everybody's going to be dispatching cameras to the New Orleans practice facility just because they're 3-9.
I don't know.
It's not like LeBron with the Heat when Dwayne waiting. But he's 19 years. People
I agree.
Will realize.
I hope so.
They will.
I
they
hope
will.
So.
I really think that they will.
I hope so.
You know, and he that doesn't mean he won't feel pressure, but I don't see him getting crushed if they're 2-8, and he's averaging 13.4 points per game and shooting 41% overall. Like, I just, you'd have to think people, this might be a leap of faith on my part, but you have to think people are more perceptive and smarter than that. You'd have to think. And I think most people are. Jimmy's in Maine. Go up to Maine. Beautiful Maine. Jim is on Tiki and Tierney, home of the Black Bears. What up, Jim?
Here, guys.
What's going on, 30, Jimmy?
37 degrees up here. So.
Oof.
Still quite chilly.
Ugh,
we actually had snow this morning, if you can believe it.
Oh, that's brutal, man. That sets back the golf season a month. Week.
Well, you know, we don't get summer really to the end of June, and July 4th is when it really kicks off for us. So.
Gotcha. And then July 5th, it snows.
Well, you start prepping for winter in August. No joke.
Start cutting up the firewood July 9th. I gotcha.
But, guys, you touched on something about the cult of personality
and
the brand, right?
Yep.
You know, with social media and, you know, I'm not knocking Zion's got talent. I mean, there's no doubt.
It's true.
But the way the hype can elevate you and make you transcend what your ability really is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I look at Odell Beckham. Great receiver,
mm-hmm.
but I look what that one-handed catch did.
Yeah, you're right.
Great
he made
point.
A great grab,
yep.
and that elevated him. He's a great receiver. he's not the best receiver.
Yeah.
But that one-handed grab made him transcend what he could actually do.
Yeah, you talk about viral. That thing went uber viral.
And I think Zion, you know, look, this guy's not LeBron James. I mean, to even put him in the same sentence.
No, he's not.
Let's get realistic here.
I agree. First of all, he's 3 inches smaller.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he can't shoot.
I think the Knicks got lucky, if you want to be honest with you, because they can get a player more suited to today's game than a guy who may take 5 years to develop.
Yeah.
And well, Jim, to your point, Jimmy, think about it. I want to throw this by real. Think about this, Jim. To your point, it also absolves them. It alleviates the pressure of having to pass over him, possibly face the wrath of Knicks fans who wanted him no matter what, but may ultimately get the better player.
I agree.
Yeah. I said that yesterday, Jim. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate you, man. 855-212-4227. All over the map with Zion.
Yeah.
All, a little bit all over the map.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. We still got over a month before he officially is an NBA player or in New Orleans Pelicans. But it will be a topic of discussion for a lot.
You think the summer leagues? Think the summer? Because more and more they've been, you know, I remember watching
summer leagues.
Going to
be amazing.
I remember watching the summer league back in the early 2000s. Like I went to a summer league when I worked in Detroit when the Pistons were at and the Orlando. I don't know if they still, but the Orlando Magic hosted it, and it was like five or six teams. Tony Gonzalez. I met Tony Gonzalez, played on the Miami Heat summer team when I was there that year. It was crazy, and so it's really cool. It's really intimate. But the profile of the summer league has grown exponentially. Zion plays in Vegas, wherever he's going to play. Where New Orleans, would they be out west? I don't know off the top of my head where New Orleans is. Wherever New Orleans is, because they have a couple now. Mm-hmm. Wherever, I mean, it's going to be like the finals. It's crazy the coverage they'll get.
Right.
Pressure's coming. We'll see if he's equipped to deal with it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Get some more calls, 855-212-4227. We've got the blast. Strange move by the Jets with their GM situation today. We'll get to that. A little something on the attendance in one of the baseball games yesterday. That was frighteningly bad. Axe update is right now. Here he is. All right, it is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Mark Unmenzi at Medizy, and Mark wants to know, who do you think is going to offer the better package for Anthony Davis besides the Lakers or the Knicks?
I mean,
the
obvious one is the Boston Celtics.
Yes, if they were to include somebody like Jason Tatum,
yep.
And they would be foolish
Rozier.
To do that. Well, Rozier's going to be a free agent.
Is
so,
he?
Well, he what is his contract situation, Rozier's, right?
I know he's clamoring to be out.
Yeah, so. we've played that sound. He's obviously not very enthralled with the situation there. Hasn't been all year. He's been very unhappy. They got a ton of draft equity. You know, listen, between, I don't know, but Ball's banged up. You know, look at the Lakers. Ball's banged up. Ingram has a thoracic issue with the shoulder, which is very serious. Kuzma's good, but, you know, is he great? I don't know. And they have the fourth pick. I mean, to me, you have Mitchell Robinson, who's cheap. You have Kevin Knox, and you have the third overall pick. So I personally think the Knicks package is more appealing. Then the Lakers, if the Celtics went very creative, they could probably come up with a better one. But, yeah, I mean, what about the Sixers if they did something wacky with some of their core players? I don't know.
Yeah,
well, it's going to be nuts this summer.
Yeah, the appealing ones, though, are leaving or are free.
We're good.
Yeah.
Yep. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, we'll get back to the phone calls here on Tiki and Tierney. Just wanted to reset the poll question. All right, so following the lottery, we want to know who will ultimately emerge as the best player from the 2019 NBA draft. We have Zion, Morant, RJ Barrett, and other as the choices on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Go give it a vote. Zion Williamson, 40% right now. Morant, 23%. RJ Barrett, 29%. And others, 8%, including my partner who chimed in for his boy from Virginia.
Yes.
The Wahoo-Wah.
DeAndre Hunter. Wahoo-Wah's, right.
Who I like a lot. I actually like him a lot.
He's going to be a really good defender,
yep.
And eventually he'll figure out how to shoot consistently. He's a very good shooter. Obviously, we saw that in the national championship game. But this mid-range and it was creating his own shot is not something they worked on a ton in Tony Bennett's scheme. So he's only going to get better, and he's already really good.
He's
going to
be good. Yeah, he will get better in the NBA. I totally agree with that. Let's get Anthony, who's in Michigan, back to it. And Anthony's on Tiki and Tierney. Go ahead, bud. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man? How you doing today, Anthony?
Okay, I just want to make a couple of points about Zion's behavior last night.
Okay.
This is a cautionary tale of not having an agent.
Hmm.
Because if you look back famously, Drew Rosenhaus claimed that he helped get Willis McGahee drafted in the first round after that knee injury. But when you look at guys like Dwayne Haskins, who doesn't have an agent, or Lonzo Ball, whose dad was his agent, they really were not really received very well in their behavior.
Yeah.
You know, as they went into the league. And what he has to understand is he's in the entertainment business now as much as anything else. So who's doing damage control to not make him look like an ugly individual in how he behaves?
Yeah.
So look, he's going to have many more downs.
Yeah, now. Look, I think the good thing, it's a good point, and it's one to explore going forward, but he's got such goodwill.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Think of the conversations that we had about Duke over the last decade plus. You hate Duke. Like,
I don't hate Duke.
You know, if you're an ACC fan,
I get the Duke hate. I'm saying I don't hate Duke.
There's a lot of hate for Duke.
I respect Duke.
Zion made you like Duke. He did. He's easy, smile. He's personable. You loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got some goodwill that will kind of mask any of this negativity that might come. But I think that's a good point. There's no professional guidance, which is very different from collegiate guidance.
Well, first of all, they shouldn't have been there last night.
I 100% agree.
That's the primary point. And Mike brings up a good one, last caller, cautionary tale of not having an agent. To me, it's a cautionary tale of exploiting kids before you have to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the hell are they doing there? I understand ESPN wants to make it more interesting and more soap opera-ish and suck you in. Why are they there? And again, she does a terrific job, but why is Rachel Nichols only referencing Zion Williamson?
Don't know.
There were three other guys next to him.
Don't know.
They're not pros yet. They should not have been there last night. I'm sorry.
Because the way they had it narrated out was that whoever got this lucky ball was getting Zion Williamson.
True. You can still say his name a few times on the broadcast without then having him in the crowd and throwing a camera on his face.
And then watching him get up and storm out.
I mean, come on. Let's get Michael, who's in New Orleans. Okay. Get to the heart of the matter. Michael's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's good,
up,
man.
Mike? Yeah, I just had a couple of comments. I hear the talk about Zion may not want to come to New Orleans because it's a poorly run organization. But New Orleans did make quite a few trades to get Anthony Davis help, and he has made the playoffs about 2 or 3 years out of 6 years he were here.
Yeah.
And they swept Portland. But Anthony Davis himself could never play a full year without the team.
Yeah, I think we're losing that. But basically, there, I think Mike, what he's saying is that Anthony Davis couldn't stay fully healthy for his run. There. Look, they did make the postseason. They swept Portland 2 seasons ago in the first round. Yep. And so, look.
And they played Golden State in round 2. I know they won a game. And did they go down in 5? I think it was 5, but they won a game big in New Orleans. And then another game they narrowly lost. So they represented themselves pretty well in that 100%, series. 100%.
And look, it's a process, man. Look how long it took the Philadelphia 76ers to get right.
Yeah. And they're still not there.
And they're still not there. Right? So it's to think that's just going to happen.
Yep.
It takes a really smart front office. The Pelicans actually have that right now with David Griffin, and he knows how to do it. He built a champion with the Cleveland Cavaliers, albeit with one of the greats of all time, but still, he was able to do it. LeBron didn't win the championship by himself. He drafted well. And they brought in the right free agents, and it worked for them.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Okay, so earlier today, the Jets made a really strange move. How does it make sense? I need somebody to explain this. I'm not up in arms over Mike Maccagnan getting fired.
Yeah.
Because as I tweeted when the news went down, is it going to be really that hard to find somebody to replace a C-minus GM?
Yeah.
Because that's what Mike Maccagnan was.
You didn't love him anyways.
No. He bought Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He drafted Jamal. You talk about his high points on his resume. Jamal Adams fell to him. Leonard Williams fell to him. Yes, he did navigate or negotiate the trade to move up a spot to get Sam Darnold. Then he's going to be the GM that goes down, is finally getting the Jets the quarterback. So maybe a C-minus or two. We'll give him a C. He swung and missed on a million players. So you buy Le'Veon Bell. You buy DJ Mosley. I mean, because you had a ton of money, you convince him to take your checkbook.
Yeah,
C.J. Mosley. Don't tell me Mike McCagnan's a good GM. He was not. So I'm okay with Mike McCagnan being gone. I'm not okay with the notion of Adam Gase suddenly being the big cheese in the building.
Yeah,
what is wrong with Chris Johnson?
I think that's short-lived, but just the fact that you put the interim GM tag with Adam Gase makes no sense. I know he's been a head coach, and he's been around the game for a long time. He's was a coordinator before, you know, with the Bears, and then with the Denver Broncos before that. But he's still really young and inexperienced to be taking on personnel decisions at the level that a GM has to. Now, I think they'll hire a GM pretty quickly, but the timing is odd. So you wait until after the draft, and I know why you do that, because Mike Maccagnan's scouts have been, you know, out in the field looking at different guys and evaluating not only the free agents but the incoming first year players from college football. And you don't want to just wipe that all out and then, you know, try to do it, you know, off the cuff. So you hold on to them until after the draft. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like they have a plan. It just something went emotionally wrong, like real quickly, and they've made this decision. Now, I know that they've been speculating about this for a little bit now, but Mike Maccagnan and the Jets had given the indication, and even Adam Gase had given the indication that everything was fine.
No, they were phonies. You heard the interview with Francesa, and
yeah,
Maccagnan,
still,
who's boring as hell on
still,
the radio,
Adam Gase
just completely
even said,
denied
even,
it.
Adam Gase even said this, so I don't know. Like, somebody's lying, and it's no.
I think they're both lying,
but it's not. How can Adam Gase start his tenure as a head coach of the New York Jets, making New Yorkers or New York Jets fans feel like fools? You know what I mean?
It just wouldn't feel like
we had a great relationship. We used to go into his office, and, you know, I don't know where this is coming from. Okay.
Everybody was reporting on this before the draft, during the draft. I remember coming, going to play golf on that Saturday of the draft, hearing a report on I may have been serious, I'm bouncing around, that, you know, Mike Maccagnan might get fired today. That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not a surprise.
It's not. So why is Adam Gase trying to act like this is a surprise to him?
Damage control. Maybe out of respect until it actually comes to fruition.
Look,
what is he going to say? What is he going to say? The guy. I don't know why he's
what
here.
What would I say? Look, we made some personnel decisions, and I didn't agree with them, and so we decided to go. We're going a different way with our general manager.
I think this was the more prudent route, to lie during the interview.
Yeah, so you can keep face, so you can save face with Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley, who both know the real deal.
Well, that's the one thing that's really problematic here. I mean, only the Jets could deliver this kind of news. So the Jets. As Grant, listen, I mean, Le'Veon Bell sat out last year, lost money. But Le'Veon Bell, he's phenomenally talented.
You're right.
So for
but they spent a ton of money.
No, I know.
Spent a ton of money.
Adam but they Gase, had a ton of money.
But Adam Gase didn't want him.
Well, that's what's worrisome. Now that's what's leaking out here. That Adam Gase is now going to have to repair a relationship. They haven't spent one real full day together yet.
Yeah.
And now Adam Gase has to repair a relationship
this is not going to work out well.
That signed $50-plus million.
I'm just telling you, this isn't working out well.
In what regard?
Because
Bell
Le'Veon
and Gase
Bell,
or Gase?
Le'Veon Bell is no punk. And
okay.
So you basically get your GM fired because he paid me a lot of money to come be your guy. And basically you fire him right after the draft because you didn't like the fact that he paid me and brought me here. Le'Veon Bell's not. He's not
oh,
punk.
I know. Listen, I'm just telling
Bell.
You. I hear you. But what's his recourse here if he doesn't play
hard? There isn't
hard,
one.
That's
there,
what I'm saying.
There
so,
isn't one.
So when you say it's not going to work out, I would say I don't know that he's got a choice. He better make it work out. Because if he sits out again, he's leaving more money on the table.
He's not going to sit
out.
Well,
if he doesn't play well,
he's going to play great.
So then it'll work out.
When
then I don't care.
Your star player hates your head coach. That gets ugly. Trust me, real quick.
Unless you win.
Unless are they going to are they going to win?
I think the Jets are going to be pretty good this year.
Okay.
I do.
We'll see.
You know, I think they're going to be pretty good.
We'll see.
It's going to be better than your team, that's for sure.
This could get ugly. I'm just saying, this could get ugly.
It could. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it got ugly.
Because
it's going to be harmonious.
Because Adam Gase has, he's caught in a lie, and that's not a good thing. And Le'Veon's not a dumb kid.
Caught in a lie that he didn't acknowledge the rift with Maccagnan?
No, that the
or caught in a lie where exactly?
It's like two levels. It's two layers. All right.
Yep.
I didn't have a problem with anything that Mike Maccagnan did, which is nonsense because he didn't want Le'Veon Bell. He didn't want to pay Le'Veon Bell that amount of money. He didn't want to pay C.J. Mosley that amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But to cover up the fact of that specific fact, he's saying I didn't have a problem with Mike McCagnan's decisions. I was in his office all the time. We had a good relationship. Even though they fired him, it's clearly you didn't have a good relationship with him because you don't fire a guy you have a good relationship. You just had a great draft last year and this year, and you brought in two free agents. So there's a level of – he's lying above the lie, if that makes any sense.
It makes sense. You know what I mean? Only thing I would say, trust me, this is not the way I want to start my season. I readily admit that. But is there any possibility that the relationship devolved after those public acknowledgments that were okay? I mean, how do we know that? I'm not saying it was great then, but what if he and McCagnan were like okay?
He said this today.
No, I'm saying. Well, that last hour in the building was hell. What do you want me to say? Yeah, just Le'Veon Bell plays well. Sam Darnold plays well. Mosley plays well. Jamal Adams plays well. Quinton Williams is a beast. I think Gase could coach. And I don't think McCagnan's that good of a GM, so whatever. But I hear you. Not an optimal start to the season.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.